Hello, Feely humans. Welcome to another episode of You, Me, Empathy. My name is Known Wells. I am the creator and host of this show. I am also the founder of the Feely Human Collective at feelyhuman.co. This is episode 241 with my guest, Jeffrey J. Jeffrey is a comedian, a writer, and a sweet, loving, beautiful Feely human I am grateful to have connected with, grateful to know now, not know fully, but know part of Jeffrey's story. Really enjoyed this conversation. In this conversation, we talk about exploring comedy as a way to process feelings, the little moments of gratitude before we continue our fight for progress, why Jeffrey felt safe enough to talk about being trans, and the privilege and intersectionality wrapped up within that. And the hit podcast, Being Trans, which Jeffrey was a part of, and how Jeffrey's experience on that show led to a vulnerability he did not see coming. Really loved this conversation. I hope you love it too. Before we get to it, though, just a couple of very exciting things. Well, one very exciting thing, which is the membership community I've been talking about for months. You can join the waitlist now. Right now, I publish it just yesterday, and if you go to feelyhuman.co/soon, S-O-O-N, feelyhuman.co/soon/soon, I'll make sure to include that link in the show notes and in my link tree on Yumi Empathy and Feely Human. But if you go there, you can sign up for the wait list for the membership community that I'm launching January 11th. That is the official date. It's scary to put a date out there. It's vulnerable. I am nervous. I am scared. I'm also deeply, deeply excited. Very excited for this. I think it's going to be great. As some of you know, I've just been a little bit tired of Instagram in some ways. And I believe that for us to grapple in deeper ways with empathy and vulnerability and emotional curiosity, we need to do that in connection with one another. We need to do that in community. And this is an effort for that. So January 11th is the launch date. You can sign up for the waitlist now at feelyhuman.co/soon. That link will be in the show notes and in my link tree. We're going to have in this community monthly workshops, emotional check-in groups, monthly or bi-monthly podcast Q&As, a movie club, one-on-one matching, and a ton more. I am very excited for this launch. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I hope you can join. I will be posting the actual page to learn more in a deeper way very soon on feelyhuman.co. I'm sort of reworking the website right now, but if you go to feelyhuman.co/soon, you can learn more, a little bit more about it, and sign up for the waitlist. And by signing up for the waitlist, that means you'll hear first when it launches. You'll be one of the hopefully founding members of this membership community, and I am very excited. I hope you're excited too. Again, feelyhuman.co/soon is where you go for that. And please support the show by leaving a rating and review wherever you listen. Please do that. I appreciate it. And I guess that's it. That's all I'll say for now. Please enjoy my wonderful guest, Jeffrey J, and I talking about being vulnerable, being grateful, and being trans on episode 241 of You, Me, Empathy. Enjoy. Welcome to You, Me, Empathy, the official podcast of the Feely Human Collective. On this show, we explore the struggles, the triumphs, the brights and the darks we face as humans trying to be human on this wondrous and overwhelming pale blue dot. You, Me, Empathy was created so that we can be witness to our collective humanity through the lens of empathy, vulnerability, and emotional curiosity. We aim to destigmatize mental health, lead fiercely with our hearts, feel our feelings without shame and judgment, and share our courageous stories so that others may feel less alone and more connected as feely humans. You, Me, Empathy is a brave place designed to inspire the beauty in each of us, because each of us, in all of our kaleidoscopic parts, makes up a magical whole that deserves to be seen. Today, I'm grateful to be here with writer, stand-up comedian, and one of the stars of the hit podcast, Being Trans. It's Jeffrey J. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hi, that's me. Hi.
That's you. Hello. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
You're fantastic.
I think that's probably my go-to, but yeah, I think it just reminds me to be fantastic.
Okay.
I'm in a COVID house at the moment. I went on a tour and with Marilyn Riceberg, who's fabulous, and then ended it with my family, and then we all ended up with COVID.
So, sorry. The COVID piece, that's hard.
Yeah, but it was kind of lovely. I was a holdout. I never had it. And then I just got it with my family. And then the ticket worked out. They just an immediate like transferred. And then the ticket ended up better. It was a direct nonstop.
There you
family
go.
Time, free family time. Everything worked out. So it was like a little, as my mom calls little things that bits of good that come out of it, she calls them COVID blessings.
Are you, I'm already hearing something in you or feeling something in you or sensing something in you, Jeffrey. Are you a glass half full type of human?
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
There are many glasses and just kind of choose your glass. I have anxiety with choosing my glasses for realsies.
Which glasses?
Yeah, someone told me it's really important how you start your day with your mug. And now I have anxiety every morning because I go like, what kind of day am I going to have?
Yeah, what are the choices? What choices are ahead of you?
Well, right now I'm in a kind of a moment of, I don't know, it's a lovely time in my life. I was an alcoholic for a long time. And then a couple of years ago, 3 years ago or so, it really stuck sobriety.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's hard. I'm with you. A year and a half.
Wow.
Sobriety. Yeah.
A year and a half is huge. That's one of those, because you hit the year and then that year and a half, you really start getting to the deep downs, which is the stuff that you find, you know, you've cleared out all the initial junk and you start to get to the things where it's like, wow, I really love this. But it took a long time of becoming more and more me to discover these things that bring me joy or to process an old thing or to be in routine. You're at a lovely, lovely moment.
Well, thank you for that. But what about you? Like, so that is some big change, 3 years. Like, what have you learned about yourself in the past 3 years? I mean, I'm assuming lots of learning.
Yeah, it was a lot. I had started drinking when I was 14. And so I don't think
13.
Yes. Hey, you come on.
Not that it's a competition.
I mean, it seemed like it. So
I know I'm winning. Points to known capitalism.
It's that moment when someone says they're ahead of you in sobriety and you know you can never catch up.
Right.
They're always going to be that month or that whatever ahead of you. And you're like, come on,
curses.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's a long time of not processing things fully and putting things off. And so I learned that I don't want to be on the road full time with comedy. I love it so much, but I love writing. I love writing for others. And I'm more writer and less, it's got to be me on stage. I get more joy out of helping someone else perfect the joke in their voice.
Okay. I love that.
what do you think that says about you? Like, yes, I've seen some of your stand up. You're very funny, Jeffrey. You're very talented. And, you know, this shift to, you know, I want to help others with their comedy. I want to write for others. Like, what do you think that says about you as a person?
I think it's a good question. I think part of it is because I love it when I do go on stage. I love it every time. It's just, and I also I don't enjoy bombing, but I enjoy the process of figuring out why I bombed when I took a chance or did not as well as I would have typically. It happened a couple times on this latest tour. It was so much fun and fascinating to be to go through that journey with myself and my own comedy. But with others, I feel like to me, it shows that I'm getting better at the craft of comedy, which there is so much behind comedy that people don't realize, that when you get really good at comedy, there's science, there's timing, there's emotion, there's a structure to it. It's about 1,000 things with and knowing your audience and feeling your audience.
Yeah.
It is so much fun when you look at comedy, not as this thing that is just, well, I'm telling jokes or, you know.
Yeah.
Getting drunk and going on stage.
So you have a fascination with the all the nuance in between. Which yeah.
Not just that, but I think comedy is the best way to process. I think that comedy allows you to process things in a way that some things don't. And I have always seen comedy that way, as it's a catharsis. It's what my comedy is it's going on stage and telling people, hey, here's this collective thing everyone is scared of. Isn't it worse for me? Let's laugh about it. And it's a shared experience of saying, like, everybody is scared of going to prison. Look how bad it would be for me. And then we all laugh and then we all feel closer.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with me being able to share who I am. People a lot of times dislike or don't understand other people. For instance, a trans person, because they don't know one. And so it's the idea of a person. And then they get to accidentally hear about a trans person because they're doing comedy and then meet me. And the idea of a trans person is less scary.
Well, that's the empathy bit, right? Like you, and that's why it's interesting to hear you saying, my interests are shifting into helping other people tell their stories and not telling my story, when you're just saying to me now, Jeffrey, there's so much rich, beautiful empathy in the, like, look, here I am as a trans person on stage telling my story, and the beauty of, like, oh, another person, another trans person or a non-trans person listening and relating and being like, oh, this is my first experience seeing, being witness to a trans person. What a beautiful moment that can be. As just a human experience. I think it's powerful, but it's also not on your shoulders. That's not, you know, that's also not your burden to carry too, which is hard. That's a tightrope, I guess.
I think it's both. I think for one, I do choose to take on the burden because I have had so much privilege. And it's the thing that I think I've decided a long time ago that I'm safe enough to be able to talk about it, and other people can't or don't have to or shouldn't have to or don't have the resources. But I was born white, with parents who didn't disown me, parents who educated me and have managed to stay safe. So that's a something that I'm willing to go out and do. And I think the writing for others is probably just me tempering some sort of an, making sure I don't get an ego or something, because it's the thing that I despise the most.
Interesting.
I also just really love hearing about other people so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get tired of me. I get tired of me.
Are you a helper?
So much of how it's my favorite thing in the whole world. Dream is to be number two, just a number two to someone who's killing it. And I love it. I'm a born co-host or middle seater and I love it.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you firstborn, secondborn?
I'm a firstborn. My brother is wildly talented, and he's one of those that is naturally talented and funny and musically gifted. And he makes full blown movies with like D&D miniatures. And
wow,
I know how it sounds.
No, it sounds amazing. By the way, it sounds amazing. I would watch that.
It does, but it also sounds like a midlife crisis.
Fair,
but.
Fair.
They're so phenomenally good that they're impressive, and they're also hilarious, and he tempers it that he walks that perfect line. And then I wasn't naturally funny and just worked it for 15 years. I was like, I'm gonna get funny.
Why? Why did you want to get funny?
I loved it, and it helped me process everything I had to deal with growing up in Texas City, Texas.
And that was the actual name of the town? No.
No. Yes. Actually, yes. I know.
Texas City. I think I read that on your website. I'm like, is this a joke? Texas City, Texas. Okay. So it's a place. Whereabouts in Texas is that?
It's a very, very South Texas town. It's a refinery town.
Right.
All of the men work in the refinery, and all the women are the stay-at-home moms and teachers, and just one of those very Texas towns.
So what's fascinating to me, you know, in the little bit of info that I read about you, Jeffrey, is that, yes, you tell me, and you have privilege, born as a white person, right? Parents did not disown you, and born in Texas, Texas City, Texas, Republican, right? Judge as a mother, father works on oil tankers. Like this is interesting context. So, like growing up and the processing that you did, and you know the non-processing, you know through the drinking and stuff, like. Did it not feel safe to be a kid?
You know, this is one of those things where when you think about it, I never thought I was going to live that long. You live that destructive life and I got very lucky in that I was only addicted to alcohol. I did all the drugs, but I was just never a fan. And, but by the time I went to rehab, I was drinking, a half a gallon to a gallon of vodka a day. And there are old pictures of me. You can't even tell that it's me. My face is so bloated. So having started drinking that young, I just think I didn't see the immense danger because I was fine with it. So I just kind of lived as me. I came out as a lesbian in school, and I didn't know anybody else who was out. there was a gay conversion billboard. There was three of them in our town, like the year that I graduated and the year before as well. It was all a very scary time, but I think I just barreled on.
Just kind of powered through.
Yeah. Kind of thought, what is there to lose?
Sure. Did you have conversations with your parents? Did your parents see any of this? Did they have any moments where they're like, something's going on with my kiddo?
Yeah, absolutely. And then also too, I have the loveliest parents. My parents, before there were words for it, this is one of my favorite stories. My parents sat us down. I think I was like five or something. I was so young. And this is going to be shocking, but all of these things had to be said in, what is this, 1991 in Texas. My parents said, we don't care if you're gay. We don't care if you are a transvestite. Again, that was the word that they knew of.
Sure.
We don't care if you're dating a black person.
Wow.
We will always love you. Those three things had to be said back then. And I was too, you know, they said it several times throughout our life, but the first time they said it, we were too young to understand, but they reiterated that growing up so that we would not break off or feel shame for things. And then my mother also had a moment when I had come out as transgender where she said, I tried my hardest to give you the best chance at life. And now you're going to have to work twice as hard because people are going to want to work against you and people are going to hate you for no reason.
She said for no reason.
For no reason.
For no reason. I mean, that is as obviously problematic as some of that language is and some of those ideas, certainly. It's also very loving. Sitting you down in 1991 and also reiterating that, because a lot of that is left off the table. A lot of that is not said. And there's a lot of implied, I mean, certainly in small town Texas, a lot of just no, anti, right? And so that's beautiful.
It is. And also too, that's why I think sometimes it can be hard to talk about the past because people think that everything is what it is now.
Yeah.
That was the best possible language you could have used back then. That's the closest you could have gotten to saying, this is, we accept you no matter what. It's all we had. So it's interesting to me that sometimes people will talk about something in the past and say it was problematic and you want to scream. It was the least problematic it could have been. You know, in that same year, someone was beaten to death for being gay, just literally on the street, like a drive-by truck situation.
Yeah.
And so you just want to say, hey, that was unheard of. Yeah.
And as your parents sort of reiterated this as you were growing up, how did that feel to you? Did you feel seen? Did you feel heard?
You know what happens? You're a kid. It's your kid. And you go, come on, good old cool. Come on, mom and dad, or get it. And you brush it off and you say, look at them trying to have sex talk. We know what we're talking about. It means nothing to you at that time.
Yeah.
Zero. It isn't until you survived and didn't kill yourself in high school that you go, oh, that's part of why. because other people were rejected, or I had a friend who was sent away to that conversion.
Yeah. You know, it's always both and, right? Like I hear that and my heart is warmed and I'm grateful you had that because you're here. And I'm also sorry that you had to survive, right? Like it shouldn't be that way. That's hard. And I'm not, you know, it's not pity. I have to do that to myself as someone who grew up in an unsafe environment. Like I have to look at that, give myself kindness, and also understand that, you know, I'm not pitting against my experience against yours or anyone else's. It's just, it's the reality of the situation and one grows from it, right? One learns from it. One gains perspective.
Yeah. I know that this comes out of part of what defines me as a writer and a comedian and a storyteller, but bad things make you better. They make you more empathetic. They make you respect what it is you've had. And I wouldn't change one singular thing about the roughness of my life or the trajectory or who I am. The only things that if I had resets, it would be the hurt that I gave to people when I was dating them and was an alcoholic and sure. was hurtful to others because I was flippant and didn't care or was a straight up asshole.
Yeah. You were in pain.
Yeah. But it doesn't excuse it. A.
No.
It sucks butts. But the other stuff, it makes you better. And it reminds you the people who've had the perfect or wonderful lives and everything was great. I don't have a whole lot of stories.
Well, there's also, I think, a piece of it. Those people probably don't exist.
Yeah.
And if we do, we probably won't meet them in our lifetime. I think for me, it's couched in, I don't want people to experience I don't want people to experience like the abuse that I experienced by my father's hand or the all of the bypassing and survival stuff that I did growing up as a kid and the anorexia that I experienced as a teenager. Like, I don't want other people to experience that. And therefore, that's why I talk. That's why I share my story. That's why I do my own work. So others potentially, hopefully, don't have to go through that pain, right?
Mm-hmm. Or it's caught or lessened earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's some of the strength in things as well, where people, sometimes I have to remind myself because I transitioned so long ago. It was 15 years ago I transitioned. There weren't, and that's when I finally actually transitioned. That's not, you know, the years it takes when you discover it
mm-hmm.
and then don't transition for years and live with that pain. And I will hear people fighting to change things and complaining about things. And a touch jaded because I want to say, you don't know how bad it was. And someone will complain about some sort of casting, like it wasn't good enough. And I just want to scream, we're so lucky that this is even close to happening. Can we take a moment of gratitude before we keep fighting? Can we say we're also this far and now we can keep moving forward? Because we still have to let the mainstream catch up. And if you go, it's just for some people, I feel like it's 0 to 100 and there's no gratitude for how far we've come and the safety we have and the ability for someone to see someone trans on TV that isn't on Jerry Springer or that isn't Ace Ventura, everyone laughing and spitting out because they've just kissed a trans person. Yeah. That was, we've come a long way. Let's take a moment for that and go, wow. And then we'll keep fighting.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Otherwise, it's not sustainable, right? Like if we keep the, I mean, we have to keep moving. It's one heart at a time. And we have to allow ourselves to celebrate and celebrate those victories, you know, and honor. Because otherwise, we're probably not giving space to honor you, Jeffrey, or, you know, moments in history, being trans, you know, like moments in history where real beautiful change is happening from a psychological perspective, from a social perspective, from political progress perspective, like really honoring those and like understanding what that means, like really understanding what that means, looking at our history, looking at all of it. Like empathy is truly about looking at all of the nuance and the context and what it all means and how it impacts us from a collective perspective. And the go, go, go of progress, while it's good and we need to keep moving forward, can bypass some of that stuff that we need to. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So recently I published this little journal called Dear Childhood Me. And it's about, it started off as this exercise in writing little love notes to my past selves. And then I'm like, oh, this will be fun as like a journal. So I like made it and I published it and it was fun. Anyways, and one of the, there's a bunch of little sayings in there. And one of them is, if I'm recalling correctly, it was, you think that the world, wait, let me bring it up because I'm forgetting it. One sec. Because I think you'll appreciate it. And then I have something to, you might feel like your heart wasn't made for this world when in fact it's exactly what the world needs. I'd love to hear from you, Jeffrey. I'd love to hear you, like, what would you say to a past version of yourself? Like, how can you soften and be curious about any past version of yourself? A past version of yourself where you were struggling in pain, trying to just fucking get through it, process it. Like, how can you soften? What would you say to that person from a soft, curious, empathetic, loving lens?
I think this is probably where I will, you know, as the, at the 3-year mark of sobriety, this is when I've uncovered the stuff that I'm like, oh, that's what I need the therapy for. that I think I do value other people so much. I think the thing that I would say would be, there are a few people who are gonna live because you keep going. And I had, it's my, I'll never forget this. I wish I knew who this person was, because I haven't spoken to them in, you know, since this one thing happened. But I had somebody, I was doing a show, it was in Indiana. Indiana is a rough, people leave it out when they think of the roughness of states, but Indiana is rough.
Mm.
And I think I was 20, I'm 35 now, I think I was 26. And I was doing a show and someone came up to me and they were an older person. And I'm going to use the language that they used in the message, but someone had stuck around. And then I got this message and it said, "Hey, Jeffrey," it was the next day. "Hey, Jeffrey, I'm the 42-year-old man who stuck around to talk to you last night. No one in my family knows that I'm gay, let alone have always felt like a woman. And for the first time in 42 years, for 1 hour last night, I felt normal.
Mm.
And it was this moment where I was 26. And it was life-changing that because I was saying yes to these ridiculous towns and schools, that somebody who felt really isolated had a moment. And it's the same reason I reply to every message I get on everything, because sometimes, even though it can take a little time, it's like 5 minutes for me, but you don't know how isolated that person is. I think that's the thing that fuels me more than anything, is knowing that if somebody had a moment of light, then, I mean, seriously, everything's worth it. It just, that's all I care about.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's what I tell myself, is that you might create a special and private too, not like something big, not some sort of like, hey, you'll have a special. I don't care that much. I really don't. But for one person to say, hey, this meant something to me on a one-on-one, when that stuff happens, it fuel me forever.
Yeah, it's powerful. I'm not being pejorative or exaggerating when I say, you know, saved a life, probably. Could have, right? And that's powerful stuff. And that's why we share. That's why you share your story. And that's why it matters. That's why we need to share our stories. It's why vulnerability matters, right? Like, that's why dismantling ideas around like gender norms and constructs of masculinity and you know, femininity, like all of these things are so important, right? Because they box us in and they build up armor and defenses. And then sometimes those defenses keep us from those moments of healing and softness with another person, like beautiful moments like that. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Hmm. And that's just, that's like the big one that I'll never forget for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Every show is something, and it's arguably perhaps more important for someone who it doesn't touch their life, that they come up and they say, great set, and we take a picture that means nothing. And that moment is gone forever, but that person has now met someone.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they were funny or normal, or some saw some similarity between something else. It's an even tinier moment that just passes. But that person is slightly different.
I think so too. I mean, just consider, like, I talk a lot about, like, in my workshops, the assumptions we make as humans, right? The bias we carry. So, come, like, I can imagine, you know, just a normal human coming to a show, like, hey, I'm going to this comedy show, seeing Mary Lynn Rice Cub. Jeffrey J is going to be there, trans comedian. You're like, oh, I've never been around a trans person before, right? Yeah.
They don't even know that either.
They don't know that. Right. They don't know that yet. they get there. They see that. They're probably already making assumptions about what that is. Right. Building defenses. They meet you. Right. Assumptions obliterated, potentially. Like, what's going on here? Like, the recalculating. They see that you're like a human person, you know, right. A normal human person with a heart and, you know, just like them. Just like us all. And that's beautiful, right? Like, that is it. That is it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. And yeah. Also, like, less threatening than most people that they know in their lives. I'm the world's least threatening human in stature, in everything. I wear a size 3 shoe. I'm 5'3". I smile nonstop, and I wear cat shirts. It's like, just,
I mean, yeah,
I love it. I love it so much.
I love it. I love it too.
Can I say real quick too?
Please, please.
I love that you wrote to your past self. I do videos to my future self.
That's fun. Yeah.
They're a blast.
Yeah.
And every once in a while I'll watch it again and I'll be like, oh, look at that. I'm doing that. I started doing it after I'd gotten sober. And I had to do it at certain points. And of course you can't turn the comedy off. So I'll then criticize and be like, did I work this out? Are you still wearing this? This is a bad choice at the time.
Sure. And sure.
Watch it back. And it's lovely to see what I was hoping for myself and be able to watch my progress. Cause a lot of the times I'll forget about it and then I'll go back. I'll be farther than the potential goal.
That's huge.
It's pretty darn cool.
That's another
talk to themselves.
I agree. That's actually in one of my workshops that's called Illustrating Empathy. At one point, I have them write to past versions. And then another moment, I have them write to future versions. Yeah. Because the future piece is about using your imagination. Just let it run. Just like you're anything that you want to be. And let it be that, right? That's exciting. Like,
yeah,
you're whatever you want to be. And that's like, we should all allow that for ourselves.
Yeah. And ask your future self questions too, because then you'll forget that even the place that a question comes from in the past, ask the question that brings you back to that moment of excitement or whatever it was that got you to where you were at. And,
yeah,
lovely. I'm excited to do the past stuff too, though. I never do that.
I'll send you a journal.
It would be insane.
Yeah, I'll send you a journal. So what, you know, in thinking about the future for you, Jeffrey, like what, you know, obviously you mentioned like writing from our people, like what is bringing you joy? What is exciting? Like, what do you want to achieve?
Well, I always say I look like a serial killer who's trying to murder their dreams, because I have these manifesty boards. The suspect walls that people have, little shrine things. I always have several rocks in my pocket that are doing things.
I'm holding this right now. Listeners can't see it, but I'm holding this little rock. It's a jade.
Do you have an intention in that bad boy?
No, I just like, I found it. I think I picked it up at this one workshop once years ago up in Pasadena, and it's a soft rock that feels good in my hand. So I often like hold it while I record. Just feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the great thing is you don't have to put anything behind it. And it may be an openness type thing. Some things settle you so you can remain open. It may be your listening stone. But
I like that.
Matter what it is, it may just be textural.
Yeah.
I had to take off. I have little beady things that I had to take off because they jingle on a podcast, but I got them sitting right here. But I've got the ones I brought with me on this little tour. I have one that's a road opener, which is my favorite because it's just opening the road to whatever I'm searching for.
Mm.
And then they get more specific. I want to have a house, and my house has zero requirements to it. Yeah. When I manifest my house, I have no specifics to the house. I have one sentence that I say, which is, I love my home that I own. It is filled with light and creative humans are constantly stopping by.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's it. It might be four walls. I don't know what it is. I know it's got a backyard because when I envision the future, I always try to, it's basically people inconveniencing me. It's people going, I know you said we could use our backyard. We're writing something. It's just me envisioning other people working on stuff in my backyard because they knew it was a space that they could go to. And I'm not even part of that project. That's what I always picture.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Maybe something to work through in therapy.
It's me going like, oh, there's so much stuff going on that with creative humans that like at that time, I've got another project and they know I'm busy, but they also know I can use, they can use my backyard.
Yeah. Very generous.
It's yeah. But also anytime you see someone else, it gives you a creative idea.
Yeah. Creatively inspired and inspiring space.
The thing that really changed my life. There are a couple of things that I changed in my manifesting and in my goals that absolutely changed my life. One of them was, I don't know where I heard it, but someone said you need to put good intentions into your goals. So when I write any goal, I write the good that's going to come out of it. So I am a TV writer because I get to change the world with my stories, but people don't know that it's happening because they're too busy laughing. And that's what I do with my stand-up. I want that. I want the house because I want a creative space for other well-intentioned artists. And then the last thing that I did that I love so much is that I wrote, I love watching my friends succeed just as much as myself. That one has changed so many things because sometimes people don't root for each other or they think there's competition and there isn't. There just isn't. If I'm going to get something, it's going to be because it wasn't right for someone else or vice versa.
Yeah.
Even if there's a white trans guy the same age who was in Texas, we have completely different perspectives. We could be on the same show. We could be in the same writer's room, or perhaps they're more right for it. And then I'm meant for something else.
Yeah. I love that. Abundance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always more creation. And then because of that, people call me because they know I'm happy for them. And I get so ridiculously excited when things happen, as I love it, that my friends just call me and I get to have this great moment of being like, yes, you earned it. And this is the thing that you did. And I'm like, remember when you did that and you were all sad about it? That's what created this moment.
Oh my gosh. You're that. Oh, that's amazing. I love that you're that person for your friends, because you're right. Like, especially in the space of Hollywood, writing, comedy, like, it could be vicious, right? It can be so competitive. And to be open-hearted and generous and, you know, communal and giving in that way is really rocking the boat, I think.
Yeah, I think it happened because there was a moment where I had a small success and I felt the loneliest. And I just thought, well, this isn't okay. I don't want to work for 15 years towards a year of towards comedy and then change my life and make all these sacrifices and live in a crappy space or whatever, all the things that I do to sacrifice and then have this moment of win and feel like I can tell no one. It was so lonely.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I can't change that in the people in my life, but what I can do is do it for others. And then the people in my life will be those people. I did that a couple years ago, and now my friends are the best of the best.
You're a light in this world, Jeffrey. I really appreciate that. I love it. Let's talk about being trans a bit, because this is, I mean, first of all, what a groundbreaking, fascinating project from Lemonada that I listened to all the way through, and just well done overall, like really cool. Like, how did you get involved? Like, what was your experience working on that project? All of that.
I mean, the behind one is that I think I started being a truly reflective good human, just putting like being like good comes to me or whatever is the only way that I could have ended up with this project. It's absurd. All of the things that came together in it to make it the magnificent project it is almost shouldn't have happened. We had good people who truly respected us and our stories. They spent a ton of time getting to know us. The whole cast, we're friends. Just all of these things are at some point you should go, nah, that at least you can't have all of these things. They, reality shows are horrendous. The thought that anybody would do a reality show and then promote it afterwards and think that it put you in a good light while being honest, that's insane.
That's interesting. And that makes sense. Yeah.
It's a difficult thing. And also then you have to take someone's life, which is messy and not linear, like a storytelling story is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Figure out how to say, here's the story. And they did it justice. I'm friends with everybody in that show, from the cast to the producers and editors. And that doesn't happen in the show because you have to keep a very fine line so that everyone can do their jobs. And by the end of it, we just had a mutual respect. And the media really takes advantage of trans people.
Hmm.
And they try to show us as one note or as whatever they feel like they should. And they really listened to what was going on in our lives and showed real life. And I ended up learning stuff. I've been doing this for like 15 years. And like the fact that I would learn something that I had been keeping down because I have to have this face
mm-hmm.
of a person who's confident, because if I question myself, then people don't trust me.
Mm.
And they allowed me to question myself, and I learned things about myself, just real things.
Interesting. So let's unpack that a little bit. What I'm hearing you say is, if you question yourself, Jeffrey, as the human who came into this world as different than you are now, you know, to some, you changed your mind. You're untrustworthy. Like, that's the lens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the framework. Maybe that's, I'm looking at you in that way. And having the space and the people around you to trust you and love you enough and respect you enough to say, you're safe here. You can learn stuff. You can grow. You can bump into stuff and be human. Is that what it's about?
Yeah, it really was. It was this accepting of, hey, because what the big thing that I ended up learning on the podcast, which I didn't expect, was that I haven't had top surgery.
Hmm.
And I wear a binder every day, and it is not good for you to wear it for that many years. It's restrictive to your lungs. I've gotten recurring bronchitis. My posture is bad. But I was this trans person in the world who was saying, guess what? I haven't had surgery, and that's okay.
Mm.
And I'm fine with it. And look at how confident I am. And I think 5 or 6 years back, that changed for me. And I really started wanting it. And I just pushed it, pushed it down. Because who am I then if I am the person who changed their mind on that while convincing everyone else that, isn't this great?
Yeah. So human. You're human, Jeffrey. We are allowed to change our minds. That's the beautiful thing. Like, changing our minds is about being human. It's about our growth, right?
Yeah.
And as we grow, we change, because like we see and reflect, we like learn like, oh, this is maybe not serving me anymore in the way that I thought it did, right? That's part of the process. Good for you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
They did it, and they really created those moments where it was a hilarious moment in reflection because nobody knew it. It was almost a scramble, I think, where it was like, oh God, we got a story on our hands. because I've got emotional in that moment and just started reflecting and talking. Mm. You do these audio diaries. And when you do, I just decided I was going to be honest. I just decided I was going to be honest. I was like, I don't care. I'm going to be vulnerable. Who knows what this thing is? You have no idea going in, and you think you can trust people, but so many people are not trustworthy in this industry.
Right.
And the reason that you go certain ways is because someone says, hey, that's too much for the public to hang on to. I've gotten not cast as things so many times because you couldn't tell that I was transgender. And so it's happened multiple times in my career where someone said I couldn't because America won't believe me that I'm trans, or I'm not this idea of masculine that other trans people give off. And so that doesn't seem like I'm committed to being trans. So I don't get cast, which is actually lovely because I enjoy writing and other people can do the acting.
But that's also so sad. That's sad, right? That. See, my dog even thinks it's sad. She's like, fuck that shit. It's sad because there's this, you know, to me, I'm making assumptions, but there's like this, there's tokenism. Let's get the token trans. And like, you know, this is what, there's like some performative quality to that. That's like, Jeffrey J is a goddamn human being. Let's start there.
But you have to make things bite-sized for, which is all of that is to say, that is what the Being Trans podcast did. They took people who are reduced to one thing.
Yeah.
You're lucky if you get a second thing where you go, you're a transgender blank. And it's like, ooh, they threw something else in there. I get one single trait. And then you got to pick that one, whatever it is that's like the most important. Is it comedian? Mm-hmm. Is it whatever? Because even in your career, no matter what you do, you're at least two things just in your career, which doesn't define you, whatever it is that you do. Are you an accountant blank? Are you a this, that? Are you a lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
Bird watcher? You don't even get another one.
Yeah.
And Being Trans said, we're going to show these people and then we're going to allow them to be more than that. And then we're going to show you how kind they are as well as their struggles and not tear them down because of it. And just show you that they're the peeps. They're just peeps, just like you and me.
All deserving to be seen and heard and loved and nourished. Yeah. Yeah.
Not perfect, which is the other thing.
Yes.
You're a villain or you're a hero, and we're supposed to be a hero, and we're not always. And I was an alcoholic for years, and after I got sober, I hid the fact that I was an alcoholic, and so much of my strength came from just saying, I'm an alcoholic. I was, and this was an important part of my life, and it's okay to have been really screwed up at a time. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Other people are going through it too. And owning up is powerful, and saying I'm sorry is powerful. Oh, it's great.
It is. It is. Yeah. Well said. Well, listeners, the Being Trans podcast is out in the world. You should subscribe. You should listen. I think there's 6-8 episodes, something along those lines. It's great. It's worth your time. It's worth your heart, all of it. So give it a listen. I'll make sure to include it in the link and the show notes for this episode. Jeffrey, let's talk about our empathy heroes. So we always wrap up the show talking about someone in our lives who is empathetic, compassionate, feely, could be a character from a story even, or a movie we love. I will go first to give you a moment to reflect on yours. My empathy hero this week is someone on Instagram, which, by the way, listeners, not doing social media. I put a very hard boundary there. I'm doing it limited basis. You know, I'm building a community elsewhere, but someone on Instagram posted, got her journal after sending them out. Her name's Samantha. She's at enthusiastic neighbor on Instagram. And she ripped out a page from the journal and put it in a frame in her bathroom, right above her bathtub. And it's this quote I had referenced to you earlier, Jeffrey. And it just made my heart swell. And it reminded me that, like, hey, other people need to hear this too. Other people are warmed by this. You know, it's lonely building a thing on your own, right? Like, you feel like you're alone, and then moments like this happen and you're like, oh, you're not alone. No, there's all these people out there. I think social media can feel very lonely, and that's why I'm kind of shifting away from it. But I wanted to give a shout out to Samantha of at Enthusiastic Neighbor for sharing that. I thought that was very sweet and empathetic. So Samantha, you're my empathy hero this week.
Yeah, she's trying to drag you back in.
I know.
Yeah, I'm getting off Instagram. Good luck, buddy. Look what I've posted specifically on Instagram.
God damn it, Samantha.
On that note, too, I have to say every podcast is different, and this one was very difficult for me because I love talking to people who are thoughtful and interesting, and it is the most impossible thing for me not to turn it around and just be a tell me all about known podcast. So thank you so much. And I think we might just need to schedule like a call.
Let's do it. We should do that.
Or let me guest host at one point so that we can turn it back around on you.
Okay. All right. Special host Jeffrey J. I'm down.
Special guest known.
Yeah. There you go. All right.
Because I don't know how you, it takes a special skill to be open to other people as much as you do.
Hmm.
That is a lot. I have to turn myself, there's a lot of protection that I have to do because I take on feelings, and you open yourself up to it every episode. And that's crazy. I could never.
Well, I think you can. It just takes practice. It takes practice and it takes boundaries. And those boundaries are emotional boundaries. Those boundaries are intellectual boundaries. I love it. It's an honor. It's a gift. I love being witness to people's stories. I think it's beautiful. I learn, you know, it's wonderful. And it's also taken work, right? I've been doing this podcast for almost 5 years, and also writing about my own mental health experiences for the last 10 years. So I have practice in it, but it just, you know, just takes time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have two, and this is going to sound cheesy, but I swear it's worth it. It's not a canned answer. It's very real. Both of my parents. And I'll tell you exactly why. My dad is the person who super instills caring for others in me. He always has. When he gives life lessons, that he grounds it. He's always been a meditator. Mm. And both of my parents are meditators and holistic-y people. And my dad, like, for instance, when he would just tell you, don't shoplift, he doesn't say don't shoplift, it's bad. His life lesson is, shoplifting is telling the universe that you don't feel like you have enough and that you deserve to have something, instead of knowing that you have abundance and that good things are coming to you. And so he's also the kind of person, my family, we're just insane over tippers, and we can't not. And when we see people, we could be in a car and all three of us would be like, we have to go do that, right? It's like all of us have the same exact thought of like, oh, that's a person we have to go and help right now, correct? There's no discussion.
Yeah.
And on my mother, I did a heart opening class during COVID, and it was on Zoom, and my mother did it too. And when they asked what you were looking for, my mother said, well, and you know, in a couple of years, I'm going to turn 70. And I just want to remind myself to continue to listen and learn from others. Because I think when you get older, you can forget that. And it was a mind-blowing moment.
Mm. That's it. That's everything.
Yeah.
Always be open.
Mm-hmm.
Never arriving, right? Never saying, I figured it out, or I know. Yeah, that's beautiful.
No, oh, very lucky.
Yeah. So, Jeffrey, this has been lovely. Where can the listeners connect with you? Learn more about you.
Yeah. So, Being Trans is on all of the things. It's on basically anywhere you can find it, including, you know, just Googling it. You can find Being Trans. And it's phenomenal. And there are three other amazing humans who are in that too. So what's really lovely is that if you felt like you had nothing in common with me, that's great, because I'm the least interesting of the three. There's three more on there who have like just beautiful humans who are three of my best friends now. So there's that. And then on every single thing, I'm Hey Jeffrey J. And so, because I just want to always be saying what's up to everybody, and I just can't turn it off.
All right. Beautiful. Well, listeners, those links to Being Trans and all of the Hey Jeffrey J's, all those Hey's, yeah. Hey, will be linked in the show notes at feelyhuman.co. Jeffrey, what a gift you are. What a light. Keep shining it. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And to you listeners, as I always say, I'm here, you're here, we're here together on this wayward, overwhelming, awe-inspiring pale blue dot. We have each other. It's You, Me, Empathy.